Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word. But really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head,
your pumpkin face. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
And go to fourparents.gov
for help on how to talk about sex.
This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry.
I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Tell me how to heal my mind. how to walk this land. You are tapping in the nighttime. You're tapping all day long. Maybe I am the song of freedom. Am I the voice of so many men and women and children who love one another?
To that question is yes, yes, and yes. You are called to live again, to love again, to recognize, to remember that you are here. You are continuing this beautiful thing called life. Your life makes a difference. Charles Holt, singing at Agape International Spiritual Center. And that song is called Tapping. Do you feel that something tapping inside of you? You are the song and the son and daughter of freedom. And this month we are celebrating, remembering, focusing on freedom to free ourselves, to recognize that we are one with the one, that we are indeed free. And the challenges and the opportunities that come our way is an opportunity to connect with an opportunity, to remember your freedom. Yes, it is the essence of who we are. Sometimes life mirrors back something else. Charles Holt, to find out more about him, his website address is Charles Holt, H-O-L-T, Holt, productions.com, Charles Holt Productions, with the S, .com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference simply by being here, simply by being born, simply by being alive. You make a difference, you made a difference, and thank you for showing up. Thank you for living life out. Thank you for allowing life to live itself out through and as you. And you are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. Ancestral Blueprints is every last Wednesday of the month, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. So if this is your first time, just go back to the archive. There's a lot of great shows, a lot of breakdowns and breakthroughs and epiphanies and aha moments and just you know, you just good stuff, soul food, soul food for your consciousness. And today we are connecting with the ancestral blueprints, and we're living the freedom. Are we? Well, we'll find out. Are you living the freedom? Do you feel like you're in bondage? Do you feel disconnected? Do you feel connected? Do you know your ancestors? Do you actually believe you have an ancestor? Do you say, well, I don't have ancestors. You know, it's just me and my mother. Well, all of that we're going to unfold. And, of course, we've got to talk about something Celeste was, when Celeste and I were talking about the show yesterday. She was like, blind love, what's that? I never heard that before. What's blind love? Yeah, I'll just talk about that. What's blind love? So, Lisa, we're going to talk about blind love. Because Celeste said, I don't know what that means. You're going to have to break that down for me. Because I don't know it, so. Lisa is in the house. Let me bring Lisa on, and then I'll just a quick announcement, and we'll continue the conversation. And I'm getting words that I sound choppy. Well, when I hear my voice, I don't sound choppy. But if when he gets out there into the ethers, it's getting chopped up, I just release and let go. Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well and really grateful to be with you and grateful for that question about blind love, and I look forward to doing my best to answer it a little bit later.
Yes, indeed. She was like, blind love, what's that? I never heard that before. Can we talk about it? No, I don't know about that. No, she's cracking up right now. But yes, welcome. Let me do some announcements and we'll continue the conversation. We just right now give thanks for the wonderful planets in the universe. We give thanks for Mercury for reminding us to be patient, to trust the process, to know that all is truly well. Ah, how am I feeling? I feel good. How are you feeling? Yeah, good. I'm happy to know that you're feeling good. You know, some of you are trying to find your alignment. It's okay. You're in the right place. You're in the house of love. And we welcome all of you in the chat room. Those of you on the phone line, we welcome you. Shantae's in the what's that place called again? Chat room. We have the new experience. It's all about having new experience as we look back and embrace the past and move forward. We get to experience life differently. Yes, Cheryl is in the house. For Saggy, I love your name. I love people's names. So, new experience. What does your mama call you? I know you're having a new experience, but what about the ones that came before you? What did they call you? That's something about the name. There's a resonance to names. I actually feel that. And those of you listening on the phone line, thank you for tuning in. Tam Tam, Tamara, spiritual midwife, what are you birthing today? Are you birthing the goodness of life? Of course you are. You don't have to answer that. Thank you all for listening. We've got some other numbers on the switchboard. Thank you all for listening. Those of you that are listening on the archive, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening right now. Because when you're listening, it'll be right now. And if we saw right now that you're saying, why is he saying it will be right now? Because it is now. I know. So I shouldn't even say that, right? Thank you for listening. Yes, let me give you some conversation. I know CSJ. I know who CSJ is. Don't be telling me who you is. I know who you are. I know who you is. Anyway, announcements. Number 347-426-3346. 426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We're having an ancestral conversation, looking at the connection. We're asking, we're talking about living the freedom. What's your connection to your ancestors? What's your connection to yourself? How do you feel about that statement when you hear connection to ancestors? Do you have a sense of regret? Do you have a sense of connection? Do you have a sense of shame? What is it? Maybe you've reconnected and your life has changed and you can't stop talking about it. 347-426-3346. If you don't want to call in because your ancestors might be telling you, keep it quiet. Just kind of do your own inner work and tell them later. But you can type it. You can go to the Life Conversations Radio fan page or like page on Facebook, Life Conversations Radio fan page, like page, and post your questions on there. And get Casper to check it out for me. But if you don't do Facebook, can't get on Facebook, you can also go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. There's a menu there. It's what does it say again? Life Conversations Radio. Click on that. There'll be drop arrow. Click the menu that says Ask Ade and fill in the email. And we'll get your question on the air. And just know that this is a house of love. So whatever you're going through, growing through, we're here to support you and guide and direct you and lead you back to your internal guidance system. Life Conversations Media.com is where you can find out everything going on about Life Conversations Radio. There's a lot going on. The site is updating, so just bear with us. Right now, the upcoming guest is not updated, but it will be. And then, you know, just listen regularly for listeners. So, speaking of who's coming up, listeners and guests, today, well, normally we have Here to Inspire is expired. Okay, all right. Where did that come from? Yeah, Theatre Inspire is no longer the network. But tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern with on Life Conversations Radio, we have The Play Experience. The Play Experience with Ambassador Farah, 7 p.m. Eastern. Play, purposely loving and appreciating you. Play, P-L-A-Y. Purposely loving and appreciating you, yourself. Make sure you play today. Make sure you purposely love and appreciate yourself. And come join Ambassador tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern. We also have My Authentic Lifestyle, Mo Love. That is every third Sunday of the month with Mo Love. So check us out. Check out the website. And I think that's it. Well, one more thing. You know we're expanding. If you don't know, you will know now. We're expanding. We're growing. And we're asking for your support. You can contribute to the expansion. You can contribute to the expansion by going to Life. It's all about life for me. So everything has to start with life, but this website is not life. It's just a website that's supporting life conversations. Life is about conversations, isn't it? Pleasefund.com, pleasefund.com/pages, /347. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. And we believe, we understand the power of giving and receiving. So whatever level you give at, we've got a gift for you. Sounds like PBS, doesn't it? You want to come in at the $1 level? That's fine. You want to come in at the $60 level? I think we have that. It's all on there. Just go in there, read the description, make sure you scroll to the bottom for the reward, what you get. What you get when you give. When you give, you get. When you get, you experience God. You give, you get, you get God. Get it? You give, you get God. So if you're not experiencing God, give, and you get God. All right. It's time for us to drop down in the heart and have an ancestral conversation. My co-host is here, Lisa Iverson, and she's traveling, spreading the good news of love, of healing, of inspiration. And hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Are you sure you want to walk into what you're walking to? Because right now I don't even know. I'm just enjoying the moment. So much is happening right now. And just stepping into this energy of transformation. So brace yourself.
Okay, I'm ready. I am looking forward to picking up what we were talking about a little bit earlier ago this morning. And I trust that whatever we talk about is will be just the right things that there were to have been talked about.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I was, you know, we talked, but just that conversation just inspired me because I just allow myself. I don't even know if I allow. I think it just happens. Maybe the spiritual practice puts me in a place to be open, and just that conversation just lit me up. So I'm looking forward to it. Yes, so we know in the chat room, new experience is new, Narelle. And I got a little secret about you, Narelle. It's nice to see you, to recognize you, to connect with you. And apparently your name means the light or the fire of God, related to the Arabic word nur. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, N-U-R. I hear echo too. I don't know. It's the ancestors. They like to show up. They like to be trying to get our attention. So when Lisa and I say that, you're like, great. All we need is an opportunity. So, Lisa, what are you feeling today? What are you feeling now? What's going on in your consciousness?
Well, I am aware of the bigness of what we were talking about this morning about holographic images in the soul.
Yes.
So I find myself, you know, as we come together for our time together this morning on the show, I find that resonating with me quite a bit, and being reminded of what a culturally different way that is to consider how it is that we're living and being. Yes. So I trust the timing of what we talk about when during our time together, but I wonder if maybe it might not be a good time to read a little bit what you were talking about earlier.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I definitely, you know, I just trust, you know, you talk about trust. I always tell my friends I trust the process, and I really do trust the process of life. And no matter what is going on, sometimes while trusting, I may be screaming, but why? I can't take this anymore, but I trust the process. And today I was led to your book, Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. And I was led to the chapter on Life is Holographic. You know, and listeners, I just want to tie this in. Just listen to this when we talk about Ancestral Blueprint, Living the Freedom. Because the premise of the show, the theme, is really about us awakening to the freedom. And Life Conversations Radio, the theme for the month is freedom. That we are part of, we are living, we are part of a dream. We are part of hopes, dreams, hopes, desires that our ancestors had. Some of them knew they won't experience the dream that they had, but they held an intention, they held a vision that their grandchildren, their great-great-great-grandchildren, generations to come would experience that they couldn't experience because of whatever they're going through, because of war, because of slavery, because of illness, because of their conditioning. So for us now that are alive, we're living that freedom out. We're living out that dream. Now, there are times we don't feel the freedom. Some of us, we believe we're not in that place of freedom. But today we want to tie all of that in to kind of activate a new awareness. And I was led to Lisa's book, which is, I'm glad I told Lisa about her book in voicemail, because then I remember what page to go to. Because when I was telling Lisa about the page I was reading, I told her page 63. And I'm saying, why am I telling her? It's her book, she knows. But it helped me remember what page to go to. It was for me. Life is truly holographic. It was for me. So here's what Lisa says about life being holographic. The word hologram stems from the Greek meaning whole image. Holograms create a three-dimensional visual image by reconstructing light waves that were reflected from the original scene or object. In the holograms you see in artworks, of photography, each part is connected with, informs, and is affected by the other parts. The images overlap with one another. Holograms are neither linear nor sequential. They are multidimensional. Life, too, has this multidimensional quality. Like holograms, life is paradoxical. Life is paradoxically simple and complex. The complexity sometimes tempts us to think about life too much, to try to understand it as if it's a problem to be solved. Let me read that again, because that has so much power. The complexity sometimes tempts us to think about life too much, to try to understand it as if it is a problem to be solved. This prevents us from experiencing life as a mystery, to be taken in with the senses and accepted as it is. When we try to solve life, it prevents us from seeing it as a mystery, to be taken in with senses and accepted as it is. Now, Lisa, those are your words, and I just shared a little bit of my interpretation. Can you share with us your thoughts, your feelings, and what that brings up for you even now as you hear it from my mouth, and what that's about.
Yeah, thank you. I'm aware of the hologram of what it's like to hear you read aloud what came through me onto the page, and so the sensory experience of that, it makes me kind of, what that goes inside of me is it makes me think, what would it be like for us to have more opportunity for people to verbatim reflect back to us the things that come out of our mouths? How might we get a perspective on ourselves that's bigger and deeper and wider and richer than what we can have on our own.
Yes.
So that's kind of immediately what's with me. So I'm having the experience of what it is that I wrote about in the moment. Yeah. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the reminder of, this image of living holographically when it comes to family life, how much of a gift it is for us to, consider that, again, simultaneously we are, at the same moment, we are either a son or a daughter, or a husband or a wife, or a mother or a father, a brother or a sister, a grandson or a granddaughter, a niece or a nephew. that we are all those things all at the same time, and how much we could, depending on the circumstance that we're in our present life, we might be living out, looking at our situations through a particular lens in that hologram. We might be looking at our life through the lens of being a daughter or a son or a sister or brother, but all those other positions are still there at the same time.
Right.
And that question earlier about blind love is operating always, no matter what position we're looking at our lives through. So I find that earlier question about blind love also coming up for me as we look at the hologram. Yeah.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Ancestral Blueprints, and today's topic is living the freedom. You are the freedom song. You are on a freedom movement. And are you moving or are you feeling stuck? 347-426-3346. And here's a way to experience freedom while you're feeling stuck. Because when you're stuck, it doesn't mean you're not moving, because all of life is in movement. All of life is moving. And so maybe you're given an opportunity by your soul to just get still and look around before you take your next step. Share it with us, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press one on your keypad. Yes, there was something that came up for me. Let's see. I have a lot of things that are jumping up for me here. Oh, this is it. You and I, when we were talking this morning, I said something to you, and we came up with a response. I just felt it in my whole being. It's like, yes. So I talk about in the spiritual community, in the expanded consciousness community or metaphysics community, we always talk about it's only, say you make the change. You're creating your world. It's you. If you want anything to be different in your life, you got to change it. You create it. You this, you that. And for me, I was thinking, yeah, and I do get that. I understand it. But I think sometimes we're not always looking at the expansiveness of that and recognizing that we are part of this evolutionary chain. And you said something that, that just kind of touched me. Do you remember that conversation?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, so let's pretend we're just having that conversation for the first time. And your response to that is?
Yeah,
if you remember,
well,
you were talking about not talking too much about it, but go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things I said was how, we can talk maybe for a little bit of time from a place of heart connection or soul connection with this bigger picture of oneness or this bigger picture of our ancestors behind us, all of these images. We can talk for a little bit of time, staying in connection and have an embodied sense of this oneness. But then if we talk a little bit too much, and that's hard to tell sometimes what that too much is, but if we talk too much, then we start to just be kind of from the neck up and in our head.
Yes. Yeah.
And is that the piece that you were referring to?
Yes, exactly. When you're talking about sinking to the heart and not to talk about it, we just talk and then we drain the essence of it because we just
exactly,
talk about it.
Exactly.
That's how we experience it.
Yeah. So, I think this is part of the path for all of us is, and why we need each other, too, is to find, where, when is it that we cross the line from being in connection with this bigger picture, this picture of soul and heart connection, oneness that's bigger than all of us. When is it that we lose contact with it and where we're just, speaking or acting from a place of disconnection? What I find often is that when we name it, we can tell when we're in connection or not so
yeah.
much in connection. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and as you talk about that, what comes up for me is, from our conversation and what you're saying now, is really a spiritual path, an awakened path. It's really about dropping down, if you will, connecting with our heart, you know, because we live in a society where it's more, you know, about the intellect and what we know, the mind. But a real spiritual path for me is really not discounting, because people say you gotta stay out your head. Well, sometimes you gotta stay out your head, but you know, there's a quote that says follow your heart, but always take your head with you. It is important to come back to the heart and really feel what we feel in our body, to connect with our feelings. And you know, sometimes it may be grief, sometimes it may be pain, sometimes it's disappointment, sometimes it's joy, it's gratitude, and there we have a fuller experience. I always say, you know, when we allow the mind and the heart to join together, that's when we have a real marriage. You know, the feminine and the masculine comes together, and we can give birth to ourselves. And in that, I really believe that's how we reconnect consciously with the ancestral energy, because there's so many people that came before us. I mean, we don't have enough numbers if we start looking at it. You know, working with you, knowing you, talking with you, has given me an image of what that looks like. Because I've shared it before in the shows, how, okay, if I was standing up behind me, there, my mom and my dad, and their parents, and then their parents' parents, and their parents' parents' parents, and it just go on and on. You call it great, great, great. But it goes on, and all the people that came before us, before we were here, and because they lived, we are here today.
That's right.
And that life lives in us.
That's right.
We're living out their dreams, their hopes, their desires. And I don't know if we always see it that way. I think those of us who are doing the work, you know, I think every now and then we catch the glimpse. I forget sometimes. But thankfully there's shows like this that we get to do, books like yours, other teachers, a stranger on a bus will remind us of our ancestral connections, you know?
That's right. Yeah, and as you're talking, I am endlessly interested in how it is that we can nurture spirit-led minds in connection with our ancestors. Because it's, for me, very clear that not only is it a gift for me to be in connection with who and where I come from behind me, but it's a gift for me when you're in connection with who and where you come from. That we need not only each other, but we need each other's ancestors. There's a very big package deal going on. There's a very big package deal opportunity in front of us all the time for us to see how much one another's ancestors are important to us, because what's happened in lived history all over the planet is my ancestors and your ancestors, a lot happened, you know. A lot happened. Some of it was wonderful. Some of it was traumatic. Everything in between. But it's because of all the things that have happened and all the things that didn't happen that we need each other so much today. And it's such a gift. It is such an enormous gift for us to see that, come into a live, present-time connection with those images, so that the image and embodiment that we pass on for the future generations is one of reconciliation. It's one of that wholeness of that hologram, rather than a fractured images that lead us to have these kinds of very human but coping defense judgments that we are all inclined to have, you know, when our mind says, oh, somebody's good or somebody's bad, or they were right, they were wrong, you know, these kinds of mental coping mechanisms.
Right.
So I appreciate so much the time together for that sense to come through.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about reconciliation, because I was thinking, you know, what about people who, just people, humanity. I mean, we do it, we see it in countries. Countries usually would celebrate victory, but very rarely talk about the horrible history as if it didn't happen, you know.
That's right.
And we do it individually, you know. And so what would you say to people who say, you know, I understand connecting with my ancestors, but my ancestors did some horrible thing. And I can't connect with that because they may not say they're afraid of living that out, but there's that fear to say, people that came before me did some horrible things. How can I connect with that? You know, it's usually easy when we can look back and track our lineage and say, oh, my ancestors did great things, or the Queen of England talk about her ancestors and what they did. And other people say, but no, this is the rest of the story. But somehow humanity, we have a way of not wanting to look at the horrible things, and that because of judgment. How does one connect or even use this conversation? As you said, we need each other, and we need each other's connection with our ancestors. What do we do? How do we go about connecting with the ancestors that we feel like, oh, I don't know about that? You know, I understand this ancestral stuff, but my ancestors were mean. They were horrible. But I can't connect with that.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for asking that. What's seen as horrible is in the eye of the beholder.
Mm.
And so that's part of that, that's part of that hologram. You know, the things, what I've seen often is that 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 generations removed, we can look back at things that some of our ancestors did and say, oh, that was horrible. But the likelihood is that in the time and the place and the situation that they were living in, it could very well not have been seen as a horrible thing. It might have been seen as, this is what you do in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And those situations are relative all over the planet. And this is why we need each other so much. Because if we were able to be in this conversation, I mean, we really are in this conversation right now for this radio show, where sometimes we've got listeners from all over the planet, you know, different geographies, time zones, histories, lived in those different places. If we gathered together, all the listeners in this show, and we asked questions, we asked historical questions, what happened on the land in this area? You know, what's the history of this particular geography? We would find quite a lot in common. We would find details that are different, you know, the wars that were fought, or the Holocausts, or the enslavements, the whatevers that happened. You know, the details may have been different from place to place, but there would be themes that would be quite universal.
Yes.
And so when we see that, you know, the persistent gift that I've seen in the work that I do is that these situations, you know, our ancestors have been in where they've done something that what we now would look back and judge as being horrible. In a way, those are the ones we need the most.
Mm.
Because what happens is when we don't recognize their place of belonging in the blueprint of our ancestry, that's where there's an impulse in the soul for this blind love to be operating, where it puts a pressure unseen to the eye, it puts a pressure on descendants to carry something for those ancestors, maybe to live out something for them. Mm. So there's a lot in all of it for us to see that bigger picture at whatever pace, with whatever permission we have to see it.
Mm. So the ones that we may not consciously want to connect with or the one we really need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Like, and there's, because what you're running from, you run to, right?
And what we don't, there's a colleague, teacher of mine many years ago, he's since deceased, his name is Dietrich Vass, he said, what we don't face faces us.
That's right.
You know, it's who we don't face. Who we don't face faces us. So, and it also, if we slow it down enough, we can also begin to see that there's a difference between, you know, the idea of connecting with, we don't always really know what that means.
Right.
You know, there's a difference between seeing, recognizing the place of where these different ancestors belong without taking on, you know, guilt or shame or whatever it was that belongs to them for the situation
mm-hmm.
that they were in, you know.
That's a very good point about connection, because for me, I mean, you and I have had so many conversations about my story, my ancestors in the family constellation circle. And, of course, last month on the show, I was sharing with you a song that I heard a Nigerian woman singing to Celeste, and Celeste shared a song with me. And when I heard it, there was something in me that woke up. And the song, hearing the words, as soon as I heard the lady's voice, I knew she was Nigerian, I knew she was from the same place I'm from, she was Yoruba. And I became aware to, wow, in the past, there would have been some kind of resistance. That's all I can call it. I can't even ask you why. I can't answer why, but it was like I knew in the past. But that day when I was listening to the woman sing, it just really touched my soul. It felt like my mother was singing, and I mentioned this on the show, and I'm going to play it for listeners who were not here last month. You know, basically, that's the backstory. And for me, I was able to experience the connection. I didn't know when it happened, if I was to measure it by time, but I actually felt that I was more at peace. I felt the essence of my ancestors. I felt the essence of my origin. I felt who I am, and I didn't feel judgmental. I just sat into the song. Now, I'm going to play it. It's not the best sound because it's recorded on a phone and then recorded on a software and uploaded. So, you know, quality is not the best, but I trust you can hear it. I'm going to play that now. And I don't know the title of the song, but I gave it a title, my own personal title, Okweyeo Baba, which means, you know, God. Baba means father. Okwe means giving thanks. So it's like saying you're worthy to be praised or, yeah. So here's the song. And the woman singing. And actually, the other backstory is Celeste was in the bus, and the woman was singing a song in the bus, and Celeste was hearing it. She said, that song just turned me to... What's the phrase she used? Maybe I'll play that part, because
Celeste said that the woman in the bus was like a crone in action.
Exactly. Yes. So here it comes. Okweyeo Baba. Mm-hmm. On the bus, and it was terribly messed up. The woman, mind their own business, giving thanks. When you talk about needing one's ancestors, you know, the woman was in gratitude. And the words, and I don't know if you listeners heard it very well, but it translates the same way. Give thanks to God. You've blessed the kings and the queens. You didn't forget me, your child. You're worthy to be praised. And she's just singing that song in the bus. I don't even know if she knew she was Nigerian. I guess she will let us know later, but she's having issues with her phone. But when I heard it, I was just like, wow, it touched me. So it's just powerful when, you know, when we show up authentically, because the woman was not thinking, oh, I can't sing this song in the bus because it's a different language and people might be panicked. She was doing her thing.
Right.
Yeah. She was doing her thing. Go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah. I know from the deepest place inside of me how much we need more visibility of crones singing on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means for each of us, you know, however those images and those songs of gratitude, you know, there's a kind of a, for me, what I sense, and it's probably just that I, when I hear the song and I sense it inside of my soul, I also hear gratitude for life being passed on.
Mm.
And so, you know, that those weren't the words, the physical words in the song, but it feels like the music and the singer, like that sense is kind of infused in what she was singing.
Yeah.
That's how it lands inside of me. And so, you know, what a blessing. What a blessing, you know, for all of us to, it's such a beautiful example, again, of how much we need one another's ancestors, because sometimes when we hear a song, I mean, for me, music, that's the first language of the soul, and that's the universal language, you know, that's the universal language that connects all of us with one another. And so if we hear the music from somebody else's ancestry, sometimes it wakes something up inside of our own. It gives more permission for the music and the songs from our own ancestries to be heard and sung too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing.
So true. So this was telling me now that she didn't even know that she was Nigerian. She shared it with me. Of course, I heard it. I heard the accent. I knew. I was like, oh, this is my mother. You know, this is my mother.
Yeah.
This is it. And I've been having a lot of interesting experiences as it relates to where I'm from and the stories that I've shared on the radio many times. So for me, that was just so healing. And it goes back to what you're saying, how, you know, I need my ancestors. I need to, you know, make that connection energetic, soulfully, heart-to-heart connection. You need yours. And then we need each other to connect with our ancestors, because we all need each other at the end of the day. And regardless of what the word sounds like, on the soul level, we understand it, you know. And before we take a break, Lisa, I wonder if you can tell, I mean, you've kind of talked about it, but in the family constellation circle, there's that word that we say, well, the blind love. Can you kind of define what blind love means and how we live out blind love? Not love is blind, but blind love for listeners.
Right. Yeah, blind love is a term that the man Bert Hellinger, who developed a family constellation approach, has used to describe when we are living our lives, making choices, or being in the world in a way that it's really in a deep resonance with our ancestors, and we can't see that. So, for example, we might just, there's so many situations what this must look like, but maybe I am a single woman and I am repeatedly drawn to men who have illness, you know. They end up with a lot of chronic health problems. And what that's a blind love may be operating, that maybe my grandmother's husband, my grandfather, had a lot of sickness, and she took care of him, and it was a heavy thing for her to spend most of her life taking care of her sick husband. And so I find myself in this kind of a pattern with men, doing the same thing. So I'm having a blind love toward my grandmother and my grandfather to try to get what they experienced made visible. There are many, many, many examples of what this looks like, but it's basically it's when there's an unacknowledged, an unseen resonance with somebody who came before us. Sometimes it's with people from our own generation too, with our siblings. So, you know, our minds like to think that we're in charge all the time and that we're so independent and making choices just for ourselves. But, you know, the deeper truth is that in this family soul place, blind love is operating in many ways where we're inclined to be doing things or living life in ways that how we experience it, it's in an unseen resonance of some kind with other people in our family.
So, let me ask you this: this was coming up. So, would that be the same thing where people? Because I've known people saying, "Oh, we've always had alcoholics in my family. My father was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
My grandfather was an alcoholic." Or, you know, those things just kind of play themselves out. Somebody being abused, there's being somebody who, you know, just goes on, or addicts, just different things. So, it's the same thing. It's that connection to an energy, if you will, that's been hidden, right? That needs to be seen. And then through blind love, the next generation kind of leaves that out in connection with the ancestor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. And, yes. I'll just say another little thing, and just it's a side thing, but I just, there's an opportunity that there's a big trance I see about alcoholism. I mean, alcohol puts us in a trance, but the experience of it in family life, there's so much judgment about it. The judgment has us in a trance. There's a common commonly when we look at family members who struggle with addiction and the, you know, we say, oh, so-and-so is an alcoholic. There's a way that there's a dehumanizing aspect to it. It's like they become a non-person. This is culturally, in the States, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of the people who, in our families or ourselves, we call them an alcoholic. We could interchange. Oh, he was a Nazi. Or she was a slave. You know, the label, the term, the person loses who they are with the with the name.
Yes.
So there's a lot of blind love operating with these kinds of experiences too.
Yeah, it's funny because the whole thing about, you know, when it comes to conversation here, or just globally, when they're talking about black people came here, or they're saying the slave, somebody is the son of a slave, a daughter of a slave. I've made a point not to say somebody was a slave, because they're not. They're Africans who were enslaved. You know, nobody is a slave.
Yeah.
Somebody is enslaved. But to really make that distinction about what we and how we identify people, and it frees us up. You know, like really relanguaging and rethinking what society has said was acceptable, because we don't know. But with new awareness, we got to choose our words. We've got to really pay attention to what's in our soul, because it's really about a soulful expression of life. That's what life is about. It's about soulfully living. We say, oh, my God, that touched my soul. My soul was dancing. So, yeah, the challenge, if you will, is how can we soulfully love those who express ways of being that doesn't quite look good in this very moment. You know, we talk about alcoholism, addiction, sexual abuse that run rampant in family, and our confusion about the sexual energy, and, you know, if it's an advertisement and everything is all out, we laugh about it. But when it's in a sort of contain where mother's breastfeeding, we want to put a law on it, like, don't you feed, breastfeed, that's just wrong. But when it's on television and movies and all the programs that children are watching, we're just like, what's the world coming to? But, you know, with so much confusion, and you know, there's confusion and there's clarity, really. It's not just, I won't say that we're living a life in a world that's totally confused. There's both. In your book,
yes.
You talk about the paradoxical aspect of life. It's simple and it's complex. So individually, our mission on this planet is to blend it, to juice out the goodness of life out of simplicity and the complexity. It's like, you know, we're here. Our journey of being here itself is simple and complex. We're going to take
yes.
a break. Then we're going to come back and take a call from a listener. And then we're going to continue the conversation. Take a break. I want to play this song. Let's see, which one do I do first? Now, I'll play you do a little jingle stuff. And we'll be back to take calls. Yes, you are listening to Ancestral Blueprints on Life Conversations Radio Network. My co-host, Lisa Iverson. She's a psychotherapist and a facilitator of Family Constellations. And to find out more about Family Constellations, you can go to her website. It is lisaiverson.com. Lisa, LisaIverson.com. And she has another website, Family Constellations West. But go to the easy one. It is for me. It may not be for you. But Family Constellations, with an S, FamilyConstellationsWest.com. So check it out. Find out about Family Constellations, and we'll be back. What else do I need to say? Something else I need to say? I don't know. So I'll just take a break. And then there's a reminder that we are truly one. And if you think, well, I'm just an individual, you're right. You're undivided. That's what individual means. You're never separated from the whole. You're an individual. You're undivided. So celebrate your oneness. Celebrate the uniqueness. And we're supporting you to live your best life on Life Conversations Radio Network.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pumpkin face. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship. It'll make us closer.
And go to fourparents.gov.
For help on how to talk about sex.
This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry.
I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. We are one. We are one. We are one. We are one, we are one, we are one. Cause there is no separation, cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now, do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now, do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Mm-hmm. Those are your ancestors talking to you, reminding you, calling you. There is no separation. We are one. Carly Jackson. She's going to be joining us August 6th to share her beautiful talent, her voice, her gift, her energy with us. Carly Jackson, you can find her on Facebook. We are one indeed. And let's go to my sister, Glenda. How are you doing, Glenda?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. Oh, you see, this is what I get for multitasking.
That's right. And you may think you don't have a question or comment, but your ancestors say, go on, do something.
Well, okay. Good afternoon to you and your guest. As I was listening, it's just interesting. You know, I just make comments about what's coming up for me. I am having a little bit of a back and forth in my head. I'm very much like into the creation, the manifestation, you know, believing in the now moment, now, right now. And as I've spent about the last 2 years following the principles of Agape Spiritual Life Center, I haven't really been dealing with ancestors too much because I feel like that's past. And in my direct past, many of my ancestors, a lot of what you touched on, you know, led some lives that those qualities I see, qualities of betrayal, anger, jealousy, alcoholism, deep-seated anger, that through my, if you say life or my steps, I want to separate myself from that. But also, there's when you played, when Celeste heard the woman on the bus, you know, it made me think about how I recently got confirmation that part of my ancestry is Nigerian via Barbados, which is something that I thought, that I believed for a long time because I was more interested in it. So I'm saying all this to say that I guess where my concern is I, you know, and I'm going to say it blunt how it's coming through me, I didn't want to be involved with all the funkiness. I felt like if I'm on the path that I'm on and there's light and joy, why should I reconnect to, you know, people in my family that passed on who didn't demonstrate that. So I think the topic is interesting because it has me going,
Things that make you go,
Yeah, because I'm very much in the mode of moving forward, and a lot of my moving forward, let me finish it by saying a lot of the manifestations, a lot of the breakthroughs that are happening for me now and have been happening in the past few months have been what I consider me separating myself from the lower energy trance of my family and holding on to the joy and holding on to the peace, or rather embodying that, embodying prosperity. And all of that energy has led me to people and places away from my family. So I guess I'm just going, okay, holographic. Okay, are the ancestors that I don't want to deal with, are they pushing me in this direction, or am I being pulled by something else? You know, so I'm definitely going, so I guess I'll listen.
I so appreciate you calling in, because I think that place of a kind of a you know,
right.
There's something maybe we all have in common with one another with that too. You know, the details are different from person to person, but it's that place where we become in contact a little bit with a place that the picture is bigger than maybe what we thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we don't fully understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself, as you're talking, thinking about that earlier question about connection. How do we know what that is? What does that look like? We can't tell from the outside looking in at somebody else's life what that is. You know, and maybe sometimes what I've seen in my life and in my work is that sometimes in our lives we're connecting more with some parts of our ancestry and not so much with others.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do that for a while, and then we connect with somebody else and not connect with the ones we were connected with before. You might be in a deep connection with parts of your ancestry you just had never really connected with before.
Uh-huh.
And it might be, you know, out of history, you know, our minds just understand what they understand, but then there's this other place. We can't see it, what's happening.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because now I had this vision of sometime in the past, probably about 30 years ago, where, you know, I used to walk around at times, and I wrote about it sometimes and felt like my eyes were really what I was seeing from a place that was in a different time and space.
Yeah.
And you know, and that was a time when I used to wear African clothes, and I was more, that was my consciousness, my intellectual consciousness. You touched on many things. So I wanted to have all of the books and be at all of the cultural festivals and do all of those things. And then I came to a place where now I feel like I am that I am. So I'm not so much in the head. I'm in the heart and the, if you want to say the gut, the middle chakras, which I had abandoned. I realized, oh, wait a minute, you were in your head, but it wasn't downloaded. So now, for me, it becomes less important to drape myself or look a certain way, and more important for me to vibrate a certain way, and then I become more transmutable. You know, because whoever I look like at any given time, it doesn't matter, because I'm vibrating this energy of joy and peace. And yes, I am the presence of God in the being of Glenda. But this is giving me something to think about. I think I'm going to go and get that chart. Six weeks ago is when my brother told me, oh, yeah, you know, somebody in our family, you know, has documentation of our ancestry, and I kind of poo-pooed it away, because when I was telling them 30 years ago it was so, that they were, you know, my family members were so mean, and they were in denial, and they made me be like the crazy one, so I was like, okay, well, I, you know, whatever, I knew that, you know, but after hearing this show, I said, okay, let me go find out the names, you know, let me go find out exactly, I think you know, I ought to go and, you know, find where they are in Nigeria. So maybe this is what this is all about.
Mm. Yeah.
So I thank you, and I bless both of you, and we'll see where the takes me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us with what's going on inside of you. It's a blessing for us, for sure.
Yes, yes. You're welcome. Have a blessing.
Thank you, Glenda. You know, that's a very powerful point Glenda brings up, and I'm sure people are in touch with that, or people can relate to that. And I was sharing with you, Lisa, before the show, that whole thing about we're living in now, the past doesn't exist, but we're all part of that. Life is holographic. And, you know, Glenda was talking about she doesn't know if she's being pushed or being pulled. For me, I think really in life we're pushed and pulled. There might be some time when we need a little bit more pushing, the time we need a little bit more pulling. We're both male and female. It's the duality of oneness, and it's all one. And, you know, if we, the more we sink into the mysteries of life, as you shared in your chapter, and accept it for what it is, and, you know, we start going, and then that leads us to another state where we go, interesting. Oh my God! Wow! You know, we now get, life starts to surprise us.
Right.
Like, oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lisa.
The other piece of it is that, you know, when the family we grew up with and the family histories that we know about include a lot of pain of some kind, you know, betrayal or alcoholism, whatever the source is. Then when we move in, if we're blessed to move into the kind of vibration that she was speaking about, that has a feeling of more joy, more freedom, then our minds want to say, oh, that's not my family.
Right.
That couldn't be coming from my family. But the reality is, the deeper reality is that those vibrations are in our lineages too.
Right.
And we wouldn't be here without those too, you know. So maybe it could be that it was many generations ago, sometimes dozens of generations, you know, that there was a freedom to be experiencing those on a regular basis, but because of the embodiment, because of the connection that, you know, you could call it cellular memory, you could call it soul DNA, you could call it lots of different things, those are in us too. And so to just consider that when we are blessed to feel those more free, joyful vibrations, that we could have there be a living prayer of thank you to our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite
mm-hmm.
something where that can also lead us when we connect in that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So true. And we get to heal the past and the present, so we open up the way for those who need to come before and later after us. Because one day we're going to be an ancestor, and our lives may be judged or embraced or disconnected from because of what we did that we really passionately believe in.
Yeah.
I might have somebody who knows many years down the line who don't want to talk or think, you know, that they learn that it's about keeping your truth to yourself. And they say, I had an ancestor who had a radio show, and he was always talking about truth. I don't want to connect with him. You know, who knows? Who knows? There's a question in the chat room from Teresa. Teresa wants to know your take, Lisa. She said she wants to know your take on the acts that seem to be happening nowadays based upon fear, violence, separation, and how crucial this time is that we come together to love, connect, support one another regardless of demographic, color, ethnicity, and status, etc. She said, it breaks my heart to watch the disconnection.
Yeah. Well, I thank Teresa for the question. I this is my own personal feeling, and what I see is that there is a very big collective movement toward reconciliation. Those places mm-hmm. where there's been separation or where truth hasn't been acknowledged, there's a very big drive for reconciliation and truth. But what I also see is that, you know, there are also forces in the universe that might have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that mm-hmm. that's real too. And, you know, a good friend of mine many years ago said to me, you know, patriarchy is dying and it's not pretty. And I think that that is part of, it's one lens. It's not the only lens for sure, but it is one lens that, you know, when there's a big system of any kind that is dying, you know, there's different ways to die. There are some more gracious ways of dying, and then there's some ways of dying that have a lot of denial and resistance, and there can be an energy of wanting to hang on to life with tooth and nail with a lot of resistance. And so I think that that energy is there too. For me, seeing that is what led me to write the chapter in the book that you read from, Hospice for Patriarchy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like for us to have kind of a, you know?
Patriarchy. Oh, Lord,
yeah.
I don't want to go near that.
Yeah, how can we have a kind of a hospice-like mindset or attitude toward patriarchy or any other language that comes to us to describe those systems that are dying, how can we have a hospice-like attitude toward them?
Yeah.
And I don't have a full answer about what that looks like because I struggle with some of the ways that, you know, I get a feeling like Teresa's implying in her question. I struggle with it as well, but it helps me to think of that I get to choose. I get to choose how I interact with those forces, and it's good for me personally to remember how to get back to, if I go away from it, how to get back to a place of humility about the things that I'm not in charge of. So
right.
You know, I think that's just kind of a walk for all of us. How do we discern that? What are we in charge of and what are we not in charge of, and try to stay in right alignment in those places?
Mm-hmm. I'm just led back to what I read from your book, and you said the complexity sometimes tempts us to think about life too much, to try to understand it as if it's a problem to be solved. For me, that really, that resonates with me. And the more we start looking at life as not a problem to be solved, more of an experience to be had, you know, and more discovery. And the discovery is about, wow, what can I find here? What can I find here? And the whole idea of recognizing the mystery. There's a saying that says something about a fool believes he knows everything and a wise man knows he knows nothing, something like that.
Yes.
And, you know, because
yes.
wisdom comes when you realize there's so much I don't know, and the more I grow, the more I expand, I'm realizing I don't know nothing. I thought I did. All the information I had, I know nothing. Okay? So I can surrender, and then I can be free to say, you know, someone say, well, let's really think about this. So you're saying, and this, and, you know, we get very intellectual. It's okay for me to say, I don't know. It's how, this is how I see it. This is how I feel it. This is what's coming up for me. I might change my mind tomorrow.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
And, you know, and I think, you know, with all we're talking about the, you know, the things that happened in the world, a few days ago, there was a shooting in a theater in Colorado.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of, why did that happen? Let's tighten gun laws. Let's do this. Well, what was he thinking? And all those, that helps. But I don't care how tight the gun laws are, human mind is going to still do what it needs to do. So individually and collectively, we have to be the place for healing. And I just really don't fool ourselves that we have all the answers, because we don't. Because life will always leave us going, as Glenda said, you know, we think we got it, and then, I'm still dealing with this. Oh, my God, I thought I killed this issue. What do I need to do now? Oh, I learn affirmation. Okay, great. I learn EFT. I tap. And then later on down the line, that's something similar comes up. So life truly is a mystery, and it's about embracing it all. And I am grateful. Grateful, grateful, grateful. And before we release the show, Lisa, what are you up to this next few days? I know you're doing some great things right now. You're keeping the healing and the mystery going.
Yeah, I'm in it just like everybody else. Yeah, thank you for asking. I'm talking from Denver, Colorado, and so I'll be leading Ancestral Blueprints Systemic Family Constellation Circle this Friday night and Saturday all day. To get the details about that, probably the easiest thing is to email me at famconwest, famconwest, @yahoo.com. And then I can give information on details. But it's this Friday night and all day Saturday. People can come for just the evening or both the evening and the day long. And it is interesting timing that this event was planned before the shooting that happened here. And I just noticed that. And I do want to say, since you had referenced it, and it's kind of a little bit back to Teresa's email question, we can see how powerful the images in the media are. There's a lot of media images, and I include movie images, that are really filled with quite a lot of violence. And we can see the influence of those images, and that those are of a particular vibration. We can also see the influence of this crone in action singing on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And the effect for us on our soul and on our being when we hear her. And so I'm really grateful to have us choose wisely about which kind of images we choose to bring into the world and participate in. So thanks for being here with me so that I could say that.
You're very welcome. Thank you for saying yes to life. And we're getting ready to release the show. In the chat room, let's see. What was this? Let's see. In the chat room, so, Teresa, let's see if I can and see what Jack is saying in a minute. But before I do that, Teresa was saying, so what words, we don't have a lot of time, what words would she leave with people who feel as if all is coming apart in their world? Family loss and grief and the complexity of it all, but to bring it down to something simple to hold on to get through each moment. You know, for me, I would say just really, listen, she's asking you, so I'll let you answer. She said, what would you leave with family members who feels, you know, everything is falling apart?
My first feeling is you're not alone. No matter how alone, that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
sometimes
right.
The person, what's most devastating when they're going through what they're going through, things are coming apart, is there's an isolation that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So to have an embodied, warm-hearted person remind them that even when the bigness of the grief or the tragedy, whatever's happening, feels so big, the feeling can be so big, you know, there could be 10 people around them, but they might not be able to see them.
Right.
You know,
Indeed. We're getting ready to release the show, and Jack, you're coming at the tail end of the conversation, and you have a conclusion. That's all good, too. Listen to the whole conversation. There's nothing about irresponsible what we said. If you listen to the whole conversation, then you have a bigger picture. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you, and we thank you all for joining us and tuning in. It's time to release the show. I'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern, for Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Be the love you want to see. That's the best way to do it. If you want to see it, shine the light. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Ade. All blessings. Bye-bye.
Blessings. We out of here, and we'll be back tomorrow 12 p.m. And Jack, if you want to continue the conversation, we are here. Let's continue the conversation. There's a lot going on. I don't have time to talk about it now. Peace and blessings. Be the change.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.